And a lot of our, you know, retiree clients are so open to this idea, because the question about when can you retire is really, I think now is becoming more about when is that financial independence day is coming for me. Because, and I also see this too, having been working in financial services for even the last 15 years, it's changed quite a bit. And the conversations with clients are around retirement are more about, all right, well, when is that day then I don't have to work and I work because it's fun, or I work and I do this for, you know, X amount of days or a year or years, and it gets me the lifestyle, right, and pays for my lifestyle. But I want everybody to think about that financial, if anything, that financial independence day in terms of not just a number, right? Because a number is a number, and somebody's financial independence day is very different. Maybe for some folks, it's just like, okay, I don't have to go to work anymore. I'm done with it and I'm happy. For others, it's about maybe having more money. So it's really, what is it for you? And, you know, how do you see yourself? What do you see yourself doing? Because there is a non-financial side to a retirement, and that's a big conversation to have with your significant others, with your friends, with your trusted advisor, because there's a lot of questions to answer around that.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi. Welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Ann Nelson. Do I have enough money to retire? That's a question that we usually start asking ourselves when we get to over 50. When we're younger, we're more interested in building our lives, sharing it with a partner, having families, getting that house. No matter what your situation, it's always a good idea to start off having a relationship, having a chat with a certified financial planner, because they have made it their business to serve others through financial planning. But when you get to that retiring age, the kids are off your hands, and you are looking towards your future to solve the puzzle of when can I retire? Have I got enough to retire? It all comes back to you. Do you have a clear idea of where you are going to live and the lifestyle you want to have? And to help us have a clear idea of where we may be going and what we can do along the way to help us get there in good shape, I have a special guest, Anna Sergunina, a certified financial planner and the president and CEO of Main Street Financial Planning, Inc., the nation's largest fee-only, hourly, project-based financial planning business. Anna and her team are on a mission to help both private and institutional clients make smart financial decisions through one-on-one work and financial planning as an employee benefit. Anna is an advocate for financial education, writing about financial education topics for publications in Business Insider, Forbes, USA Today, NASDAQ, and WSJ. She also teaches her flagship personal finance management course, Money Flow System, and engages with followers during her weekly Facebook Live show, Money Date Show. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. How are you, Anne?
I'm great, thanks. So can you just start off by telling a little bit about yourself, your background, and what led you down the path to being a financial planner?
Yes, that's right. Sure, I'm happy to share that. So I am a certified financial planner by training, and I didn't quite start out in my career that way, because my goal all along as I was growing up was actually to be a doctor. And as I got into college and kind of like halfway switched my majors, just because I just realized I didn't want to be going to school for that long. But long story short, I still ended up spending quite a bit of time in school and college and after that to get all my certifications. But my main goal was, because that's really what attracted me about, you know, being a doctor, is working with people. And I found money an interesting topic, because growing up, it didn't really get discussed much in my household. And I come from an immigrant family who, you know, who was really focused on how to earn money, right? Because my family immigrated in the early 90s to United States from Eastern Europe. And so, of course, you know, my parents didn't know any of these money concepts that we're talking about today. All they had in mind was, how can we provide for us and how can we start a new life? And so I was always intrigued by that. But short to say, of course, I've made my fair share of mistakes before I actually understood how things worked. And I've had all kinds of challenges along the way on my financial journey. So that gave me even more incentive, you know, to work with people and to really help them figure out their finances. And I work in a space that's called fee-only financial planning. So project-based work, or if someone has just one or two or three questions, we can sit down, analyze their situation, and give them advice. And the two groups that are attracted to our business model or advice that we give are younger clients starting out, having families. That's kind of like when finances get a little tricky and complicated, having kids, buying their first homes. And then, of course, our pre-retirees and retirees, because that's, you know, another phase in life. And it's really about that. What are you going through at the moment and around retirement or into retirement? A lot is happening around finances. And so we have a big group of clients that we work with. But we here in the United States, we have presence on both coasts, East Coast, Maryland, D.C. area, New York, and then I am physically in California, Northern California, but we work with clients all over the country, all over the world, because for location makes no difference, as we can do a lot of online work.
Well, thanks for sharing that. It's very interesting that you can be in one place and get financial advice for another. And that's thanks to the World Wide Web and all these marvelous apps like the one we're talking through today.
Exactly.
It's interesting that you said before that when we're growing up, it's more about the parents, more about providing for their families. And there's not much talk about investing, is there?
No, not at all. And I think it may be cultural differences, at least from where I come from, but it was really about how do you make money to provide for today's needs. And it took a while for my parents to kind of grow into it, right? You know, once they settled and adjusted in this country. And of course, you know, becoming a financial planner, you know, I willingly wanted to help them as well, but I still saw those differences later on as we were working on creating their own financial plans. So it's, I think there's a cultural difference as well of like, do you just work for the money or do you work smart for it so that you can start investing and you can start setting it aside? I think it's worth understanding why people think a certain way and why they make a certain decision about their finances just because of that.
Because we all come from different backgrounds, that's for sure. I'm intrigued by some of the information you've sent over. You're very busy over there. You've got a money flow system course, and then you've also got a money date show, I believe. So why should you date your money?
Yes, it's an interesting question, Anne. And the two kind of go hand in hand. And I'll talk about money. Why should you date your money? And then it kind of flow into, you know, the course, because it's one came out of the other. And also, I will happily share, I have a checklist for your listeners that can download. It's just a PDF that helps kind of guide your money dates. And so this idea came to me a number of years ago, because as I'm sure I'm, you know, can relate to a lot of your listeners, but life is busy. And I wanted personally, right, not just being a financial planner, but I've got to, I had to figure out what my system was, right, what kind of financial life I wanted to run. And I wanted to have a dedicated time in my calendar, you know, in my weeks, or, you know, with my significant other, when we actually had a productive discussion about where our finances were. And I just kind of pondered with this idea. And every time I brought up a conversation about finances, it's just like, it just didn't really go anywhere. And I said, well, what if we have a date and just maybe for the first couple of minutes, right, or 10 minutes on that date, talk about where we stand with our finances. And it kind of started that way, but, you know, it evolved over time with my husband. But the idea was, is that we, at least we talked about it once a week. And there were four specific questions I wanted to inquire, right? Because if you have a significant other who's participating in your overall finances, there's joint things that happen, right? You spend money jointly, you have checking accounts, you have credit cards. So there's a lot of activities going on. You earn money together. So like, the idea is, where is all of this going? Do you have a good sense? Like, can you like confidently, you know, answer a question like how much money, if you're on, for example, if you have variable income or you have a business, right? How much money did you make for that week? And I found that talking about these kinds of questions on weekly basis versus like most of us do sit down once a month and do kind of a, hopefully, a financial review, right? Pay their bills. I found that weekly chats, they were just less intimidating. And it really turned into be, after a while, it was just about inquiring with each other. So we wanted to know, well, how much money did come, you know, come in that week? Because both my husband and I own our businesses. What was our expense for the week, right? So did we blow it because of certain things, or do we really stay on track? Like, we were anticipating any future expenses, or maybe perhaps next weekend we had a birthday party to go to, or we're buying something more, you know, expensive than our usual spending plan allowed, and how we're tracking with our savings goals. Those were kind of the four big questions that sort of circled in our conversations, and we just really made a fun time out of it. And then later on, I just sort of had this going on internally in my family, and I started to share it with my clients, and they liked the idea. But then I thought, all right, well, if I can have a conversation with my significant other, talk to my clients about it, why not talk to the rest of the world? And that's where the Money Date Show was kind of created. And so every Wednesday at 3 o'clock Pacific, I get on Facebook Live, I have this exact same conversation. I encourage everybody to have a good sense of where their money at, how are they spending, and are they tracking against their goals, whatever they are. And then I also talk about a topic, you know, that is of interest to me and to my listeners for that week. So there's a little bit of a learning as well, because it's fun. And that's kind of where, you know, the money date idea comes together. And so I continue doing this. And I find that a lot of people are intrigued by this concept. And then they sort of look at it just a little differently versus like, okay, let's have a talk about where is our money. And then everybody puts their head in the sand. I don't want to do anything.
Right. Well, it sounds like a wonderful idea. And it sounds like you've made it fun as well. Do most people struggle with putting a regular amount of money away for their future?
I think most people don't have a clear strategy outlined. And so that probably leads to not having a consistency in terms of, okay, are you committing to putting X amount of dollars per week, or, you know, however your paycheck comes in? If it's weekly, then it's weekly. If it's 2 weeks, then 2 weeks. Or if it's monthly, or if it's like some of us who are business owners or, you know, independent contractors, you don't have a consistent income. So how do you still fulfill that obligation that you set to, you know, to yourself to save? So I shouldn't say that most aren't, you know, staying on the track with savings, but most really need to think and have a strategy that they can stick to. And what is that contribution going to be? And track it. That's where it gets interesting. If you have a way to track, you start seeing progress. Mm. You start seeing how you're improving. And it hopefully gets you more excited to work on it. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure. And is that what you mean when you talk about, does your money have a flow?
It does. And there's a couple of things here that are sort of crossover from, you know, dating your money and the money flow system. So to kind of backtrack before the money date idea came about, money flow system was a course and training materials that I created for this around the same kind of idea. I wanted to have a system put together that I could sit down anytime with my significant other and say, okay, here's where all of our spending is at. Here's where our, you know, savings are going. This is how we track in against the goal. So money flow system was just that. Or like, all right, how do I make sure that all the bills are paid? And then the money flow training course, I teach you how to set it up. But it's really simple because all I have is two checking accounts. One is paying for fixed expenses, and everybody, whether you're starting out or you're getting closer to retirement or you're somewhere in between, you're on variable income or you have a consistent paycheck coming into your business owner, everyone can implement this. It's really flexible in those ways because it allows, and it gives you this flexibility of knowing that, for example, if you have two checking accounts, one covers all your fixed expenses. And in the fixed expenses, I also include a savings allowance, right? So for example, if you're saving for retirement or if you're saving for your next vacation or you're saving for a house down payment, that becomes one of those expenses, right? Because if it doesn't happen, you aren't going to have a system, right, that is easily trackable. So, or for example, some of our clients have debts that they're paying off. So that goes on the list of your fixed expenses, which get paid out of your fixed checking account, right? You call it fixed expense checking account. The second account in the system is called variable. So it's for all the variable expenses, going out to dinner, groceries. Although some clients say, well, groceries are non-negotiables. And I can counter that because you can shop at different stores, right, to buy different groceries. So it's really all subjective. But whatever your idea of variable expenses, right, and wherever you think you have flexibility, that's what allows you to pay out of the second checking account. And then when we get a paycheck, and the reason this really worked well for my family, being business owners, right, entrepreneurs, and not having consistency to our income, is because we knew what our baseline was. We knew we needed to have this much money every month to live on. In months where it wasn't as great with the income, well, we could cut back on some of the variable things, but always made sure that the basic bills were covered. So the money in the system, right, had a flow. It was just a question I kept asking myself, how could we make this money flow? Like, how could it be just a smooth sort of transition? Now, years later, we've introduced, instead of a variable checking account, we introduced a credit card because we wanted to get miles, right, or points to kind of be more creative with that. But the system's still the same. It's just we aren't using the checking account, second checking account. We just use the money out of that to pay off the credit card,
yeah,
on a monthly basis. But it's a little more variable. You know, for those who have debt and working on paying it off, credit card probably isn't, you know, in the works just yet. It's sort of the second step once you master and kind of feel comfortable. But it really gave me a clear peace of mind. And then on our weekly dates, right, this is where the date idea came and said, all right, well, what's going on in our checking accounts, right? And the one rule we have for our fixed account is to make sure that all the bills, and most of them are set up on auto pay, are paid by the 15th of each month. So essentially, second part of the month, we aren't really looking into the fixed expense account because there's not much going on there. That's just, it's just waiting to be used up again at the beginning of the month. So that was really, really, really helpful in terms of not having to worry about that and easy to check, right? You can like spot there's a mistake or you can see if something didn't go through. Because unlike for most people, and I see this a lot with clients as well, everything gets put into one account and there's a lot of transactions. And if you have two people, right, tapping into them, that just creates even more complexity, which I think creates more stress. So that's how the money has a flow, connects not just only paying living expenses and but having a clear path of what your savings are, like how much a month you're actually saving. And if you're paying off your debts, that works just as well because it's one of those things that's on your list.
Right. For those of us that are a bit older and we've sort of got past that stage of bringing up the children and we're more focused on retirement. How much of our income should we have been putting aside for our future?
I know you're referring to like how much you should have saved in terms of percentages. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. Well, I've heard percentages around you should be putting aside between 10 and 15% of your income for the future.
For the future, yes. I was going to probably lean towards probably 15% of your income should be in your fixed expense category, meaning it's a kind of a, everybody's familiar with this concept, or I hope they are, pay yourself first. So if anything, before you pay any other bills, you should have this pay yourself category, meaning savings, right? And 15%, 10 to 15% is, I think, is manageable for most people in terms of having enough, you know, for savings and then having enough money to pay for the rest of the bills. But for those of you, for listeners who are a little bit older, like you said, and already maybe closer to retirement or they are entering the retirement phase, I think the money flow system works just fine because it still also helps them now that they're on probably more or less fixed income, right? Because they probably have a pension, or if it's in US, we have Social Security, or, you know, they're now starting to draw from their portfolio. So all of that is a little bit more clear cut, but they still have to pay bills every month. They still want to have fun, right? They want to have even more fun, I suppose, with their money. So having a clear cut picture, I think it works in any situation.
Yep. Well, thanks very much. It sounds like a wonderful system you have developed there. And you mentioned also that you have a course that you do. Is that more suitable for younger people?
No, you're talking about a money flow course?
Yeah.
So a money flow course is, it's exactly what I was describing. So the course just has instructional videos. There's a workbook that you can download. So it just depends on what your style of learning. So if you just want to download a book, a workbook, you can work through that yourself. Or if you want to have some, you know, additional guidance in my videos, then you can go ahead and do that. The course is set up to be taught over 5 weeks because every week you'll have like a module that you're working on. Then you have homework that you'll have to do for that week. And then you can progress on to the next week and to the next week. And at the end of 5 weeks, you should have all the configurations necessary to get you kind of started on this path.
Okay. Thanks very much for that. So before we finish up, I think we have to cover, I don't know how much time you have, but there's a couple of other questions I was interested in. One is, when can you retire, and will the money, and the other is, will the money last?
Yeah, those are really big and general questions, but I think in terms of how would I answer a question about how your money will last? Again, if I had a way, you know, to sit down with a client, obviously that means we have to spend more time understanding what their goals are and what their current resources are in terms of savings and, you know, what they're planning to spend. And it kind of putting all of those, I look at it from the standpoint of being a puzzle, and all of these pieces of the puzzle will come together because, you know, having a clear idea, where are you going to live, how much money you need to live on, and then putting it all together to see, okay, well, here's all your income, here's all your expenses, here's all of your resources, investment portfolio, how long will it last if you continue, you know, with this kind of lifestyle? Or maybe perhaps introducing new variables such as getting a part-time job, right? Or having a project on the side, or running a podcast, or whatever side hustles there are. And a lot of our, you know, retiree clients are so open to this idea because the question about when can you retire is really, I think now is becoming more about when is that financial independence day is coming for me? Because, and I also see this too, having been working in financial services for even the last 15 years, it's changed quite a bit. And the conversations with clients are around retirement are more about, all right, well, when is that day then I don't have to work and I work because it's fun, or I work and I do this for, you know, X amount of days or a year or years, and it gets me the lifestyle, right, and pays for my lifestyle. But I want everybody to think about that financial, if anything, that Financial Independence Day in terms of not just a number, right? Because a number is a number, and somebody's Financial Independence Day is very different. Maybe for some folks, it's just like, okay, I don't have to go to work anymore. I'm done with it and I'm happy. For others, it's about maybe having more money. So it's really, what is it for you? And, you know, how do you see yourself? What do you see yourself doing? Because there is a non-financial side to a retirement, and that's a big conversation to have with your significant others, with your friends, with your trusted advisor, because there's a lot of questions to answer around that.
Well, thanks very much, Anna. You've given us a lot to think about, but I love that concept, having a Financial Independence Day. It sounds like it should be a party day.
That's right. That should be a big party day. It is for most people, I would think, because you're changing something that you've been doing for a long time. And I see that a lot more people are doing it earlier in their life because of possibilities, because of the way everybody can make income, work from anywhere, connect with anyone. And so, yeah, there's a lot more opportunities these days.
Yes, and amazing what you can achieve when you give it focus as well.
That's right. I agree.
And if anyone wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about you, where would they go?
Yes, I'm on social media, but we have our financial planning, my Main Street Financial Planning Company website is mainstreetplanning.com. We are launching a challenge, a 28-day challenge starting in on September 2nd. And if anybody wants to check that out, it's moneyroadmapchallenge.com. It's meant to help those who want to have a strategy, a clear-cut idea about a lot of these questions that we discussed today. And what we do is we work with you, our team of advisors, work with you over 28-day period. Every day, like you said, having a clear focus and having a clear task every day, working through all the different financial areas. For example, things like figuring out how you can have a clear-cut system as far as paying bills, getting organized. For our retiree clients, we actually have a separate track because we want to answer a question about, for example, portfolio distributions, right? Because it's a little bit different life phase, or when do you start your pension, or when do you take Social Security, for example, in US. But, you know, for younger clients, it's about still savings, right? Or how do you make money on your money? So these are just a few examples of what we'll cover in a challenge throughout our 28 days or 4 weeks of work together. And we also have live questions every week. And we have an awesome Facebook group that supports all the challenge takers. Check that out. It's moneyroadmapchallenge.com.
All right. Well, thanks very much. It's been wonderful hearing your passion for your career that you've chosen and how you are serving others via financial planning. So, Anna, how else can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so social media is a good place for us to get connected. We have a Facebook page. So it's Main Street Planning, Inc. Go Facebook and then just type in Main Street Planning, Inc. And then I'm on Instagram and my handle is Anna, number 8 in the middle, and then my last name, SergUnina.
Great. Well, we'll catch you online somewhere.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.